Hello everyone, my name is Abdulrahman Al-Omer and I'm presenting today on behalf of myself and my co-authors, Professor Alan Farley and Dr. Helen Yang. We are honored to participate in this forum. Our paper aims to investigate the impact of IFRS adoption on the value or relevance of accounting information in Saudi Arabia. First of all, I would like to define the term value or relevance. Value or relevance refers to the ability of accounting information in the financial statements to reflect the intrinsic economic value of a company. We focus on the impact of IFRS adoption on the value or relevance of accounting information because value or relevance is an important measure of accounting quality, since it's a joint test of the fundamental qualitative characteristics of accounting information, the relevance and the faithful representation. Therefore, value relevance models are often employed to measure the effect of IFRS adoption on accounting quality. The selection of Saudi Arabia in this study is because Saudi Arabia has very distinctive institutional factors. Its political system is an absolute monarchy, and its legal system is derived from Islam faith. Its culture is mainly shaped by the influence of the Islamic religion and the Arabian tribal traditions. Therefore, Saudi Arabia is the best candidate to examine the impact of both the Arab and the Islamic culture on IFRS implementation. We also selected Saudi Arabia to fill the gap in the literature concerning the IFRS implementation. In developing countries, as much of the literature pay attention to developed countries. We also selected Saudi Arabia because it recently adopted IFRS in 2017, and this makes it the last country among G20 members and Gulf Cooperation Council countries to adopt IFRS. Lastly, it's worth investigating the impact of IFRS adoption in Saudi Arabia, as the country has the largest economy in the Middle East and Northern Africa region. And its stock market is also the largest in the Middle East and Northern Africa region. Now, this slide shows the timeline of IFRS adoption in Saudi Arabia. So as you can see, in February 2012, IFRS adoption plan was announced. However, on October 16th of 2016, the Saudi Capital Market Authority decided to defer the use of fair valuation models as in IAS 16, IAS 38, and IAS 40 for the first 3 years. The effective date of IFRS implementation in Saudi Arabia is January 1st, 2017. This means that all listed firms on the Saudi stock market are required to prepare their financial statements in accordance with IFRS starting from January 1st, 2017. The key differences between IFRS and Saudi GAAP are as follows. First, IFRS with 42 standards is more comprehensive than the Saudi GAAP with only 21 standards. Also, IFRS requires a greater disclosure requirement than the Saudi GAAP. IFRS as a principle-based set of accounting standard is more flexible than the Saudi GAAP and largely requires exercising professional judgment. Saudi GAAP, on the other hand, as a rule-based set of accounting standards, minimizes the room for professional judgment. Also, only historical cost is allowed under the Saudi GAAP except for share-based transaction. However, under IFRS, both the cost and the fair valuation models are allowed with a greater focus on fair value. Therefore, IFRS is being viewed as balance sheet and fair value-oriented set of accounting standards, whereas Saudi GAAP is more toward being income statement and historical cost-oriented set of accounting standards. As for the research hypothesis, our first hypothesis states that the accounting information of non-financial firms listed on the Saudi stock market is jointly value relevant during the study period from 2015 to 2018. And by joint value relevance, we refer to the ability of both earnings and book values of equity together to change investor belief about the firm value. These two accounting measures are the summary of the two main financial statements. Therefore, accounting information is value relevant when its relationship with market value is statistically significant. As for our second hypothesis, Our second hypothesis states that the joint and the relative value relevance of accounting information prepared under the IFRS is not more than those prepared under the Saudi GAAP. The relative value relevance in this context refers to the individual ability of each earnings and book values of equity to reflect the market value of a company. Now I would like to talk about the research design. Our study period runs from 2015 to 2018. This is 2 years before the adoption and 2 years after the adoption. We've collected the required data from ICON data stream, Orbis database, and the official website of the Saudi Stock Exchange. Our final sample comprises of 110 firms with a total of 440 firm year observations. So this gives us 220 observations for each of Saudi GAAP period and IFRS period. As for the value relevance, we adopted the price model of Olson, which expresses the value of a company as a combined function of both book values of equity and earnings. The price model has been applied in developed and emerging markets. Following prior studies, we used the number of outstanding shares as a deflator to mitigate the effect of scale and heteroscedasticity. We also selected the price model because of the possibility of measuring the value relevance of both earnings and book values of equity, which represent the summary of the two key financial statements. The dependent variable of the model is the share price 4 months after the fiscal year end. The independent variables are the earnings per share and book values of equity per share at the fiscal year end. In light of the prior literature, we use the explanatory bar as the main metric for the joint value relevance of accounting information and the regression coefficient for the individual value relevance of accounting information. The explanatory bar shows how much the variation in the dependent variable can be explained by the independent variables. So, if the explanatory bar is found to be statistically significant, then the accounting information is jointly value relevant. The regression coefficient shows the change in the dependent variable for every unit change in the independent variable individually. So this means that the regression coefficient shows the strength of the association between each component of accounting information and market value. Hence, if the regression coefficient is found to be statistically significant, then the accounting measure is individually value relevant. To test the change in the explanatory bar, we use the Wong test for non-nested models and the Kramer test for the independent models. So in this study, we used both the Wong and Kramer test to assess the change in the joint value relevance of accounting information resulting from the switch from Saudi GAAP to IFRS. To test the change in the regression coefficient as a result of implementing IFRS, the interaction effect of IFRS dummy variables and each accounting information variable is the place to look. And this will be further discussed in slide 10. Our main analysis is concerned with measuring the value relevance of accounting information throughout the study period, as in hypothesis one, and to test the impact of IFRS on the relationship between the accounting information and firm's market value, as in hypothesis two. We use the yearly and the pooled explanatory bar and the regression coefficient of the price model to test hypothesis one to determine whether the accounting information within the Saudi environment is value relevant during the study period. As for our second hypothesis, we use two methods to test the impact of IFRS adoption on the joint value relevance of accounting information. As you can see, these two methods are the before and after IFRS adoption methods and the comparative year method. In the before and after method, we compare the explanatory bar of the price model with accounting information prepared under the Saudi GAAP during 2015 and 2016 with their counterparts of IFRS-based accounting information during 2017 and 2018. As for the comparative year method, the year 2016 is the comparative year where all listed firms in Saudi Arabia were required under the IFRS 1 standard to restate their financial statement for the 2016, which were prepared under the Saudi GAAP in accordance with IFRS. So we took advantage of this by comparing the value allowance of accounting information prepared for the same year, but under two different sets of accounting standards. Similar to the before and after method, we also compared the explanatory power of Saudi GAAP-based accounting information model with the IFRS-based accounting information model. Although our preferred method is the comparative year method, as it controls for the time series and cross-sectional differences, we also applied the before and after method to be consistent with the prior literature and to report a comparable result. Now, on the left-hand side of the slide, we include IFRS dummy variable to the price model using the pooled data from 2015 to 2018 to test the impact of IFRS adoption on the individual accounting measure. So as you can see that the coefficient of interest are beta 4 and beta 5, as they show whether there is a significant change in the regression coefficient between the two sets of the accounting standards. Now this slide presents the regression result for our main analysis. To test hypothesis one, we would be interested in the yearly explanatory power R-square in panel A. As you can see that the yearly R-square is always significant. Therefore, we accept our first hypothesis. We partially accept our first hypothesis that the accounting information is joint value relevant throughout the study period. However, when we focus on the individual value relevance of earnings and book values of equity, we can see that the coefficient on earnings are always statistically significant throughout the study period. And this indicates that earnings are always individually value relevant and very important to equity investor when making investment decision. However, this is not the case for book values of equity, as their coefficients are only statistically significant during IFRS period. Now, referring to hypothesis two, to test the impact of IFRS on the joint value relevance of accounting information, we would be interested in the change of the explanatory power due to the switch from Saudi GAAP to IFRS. As you can see in panel A for the before and after IFRS adoption method, that the change in the R-square of 41.5 for the years 2015 and 2016 combined to the R-square of 50.8 for the years 2017 and 18 combined is not statistically significant as indicated by the Kramer Z statistics of 1.529. Similarly, in panel B, for the comparative year method, the change in the R-square of 37 for the Saudi GAAP-based model to the R-square of 36.7 for the IFRS-based model is also not statistically significant as indicated by the Wong Z statistics of 0.011. Therefore, we partially accept our second hypothesis that the joint value relevance of accounting information did not significantly increase after IFRS adoption in Saudi Arabia. Now, referring to panel C for the impact of IFRS on the individual value relevance of each of the accounting measure, as I mentioned earlier that the coefficient of interest are those with the cross product with IFRS dummy variable. So as we can see that only the coefficient on book values of equity has altered significantly due to IFRS adoption. Therefore, we partially reject our second hypothesis that the individual value relevance of accounting information did not significantly increase after IFRS adoption in Saudi Arabia. This graph shows the yearly change in the overall explanatory power as well as each component of the explanatory power. So we can clearly see that the increase in the overall explanatory power during IFRS period is mainly attributed to the increase in the book values component in the blue color. This confirms that the finding that only the individual value relevance of book values increased after IFRS became mandatory in Saudi Arabia, as indicated by the interaction effect of IFRS dummy variable and book values of equity variable. Our additional analysis is interested in whether the IFRS adoption has different impact on firms with different characteristics. So this table presents the result of price model based on selected from characteristics pre and post IFRS adoption by splitting the sample based on firm's profitability as in panel A, audit quality as in panel B, and firm size as in panel C. Panel A shows the result of profit-making firms versus loss-making firms pre- and post-IFRS adoption. As we can see, while the joint value relevance of profit-making firms are always significant as indicated by the R-squared during both Saudi GAAP and IFRS periods, the joint value relevance of loss-making firms are not significantly as indicated by the R-squared and the regression coefficient throughout the study period. The Kramer test also confirms that the R-squared of profit-making firms model is significantly higher than the R-squared of loss-making firms model in both the Saudi GAAP and IFRS period. And this confirms that the investor in Saudi Arabia value negative and positive earnings differently as they view profit-making firms as going concern. Now, Panel B shows the result of firms audited by Big Four versus firms audited by non-Big Four pre- and post-IFRS adoption. We can clearly see that firms audited by Big Four always have higher R-squared than firms audited by non-Big Four, regardless of the accounting standard used. A possible justification for the variation between Big Four and non-Big Four subsamples is that investors have more confidence in accounting information audited by Big Four, as they are better trained to constrain aggressive earnings management, and they are more likely to issue a going concern warnings compared to non-Big Four audit firms. Lastly, panel C shows the result of large firms versus small firms pre- and post-IFRS adoption. Similar to the previous subsamples, large firms always have higher R-squared compared to the small firms during both Saudi GAAP and IFRS periods. This is supported by the argument that investors do not... This finding is supported by the argument that investors do not place greater weight on the accounting information of small firms, as they usually include startup firms. A general conclusion of this result that all of these subsamples, except of loss-making firms, confirm our main findings that book values of equity only became useful during IFRS period. In this slide, we list the summary of the key result. First, the accounting information are value relevant to equity investor in making investment decision during both periods, as indicated by the yearly explanatory bar values, which are statistically significant at the 1% level, so we accepted hypothesis one. Also, the joint value relevance of accounting information did not significantly increase following IFRS adoption, as indicated by both the Kramer and Wong Z statistics values for the pre- and post-IFRS method and the comparative year method, respectively, so we accept hypothesis two. We also found that the individual value relevance of earnings is always significant. However, the individual value relevance of book values of equity is only significant during IFRS period. Our additional analysis shows that the profit-making firms, firms audited by Big Four, and large firms always exhibit significantly higher joint value relevance compared to their counterparts, regardless of the implemented accounting standards. The result of all subsamples of firms with different characteristics confirm our main findings that IFRS has a positive impact on the value relevance of book values only. Lastly, we found that IFRS-based accounting information of firms audited by Big Four achieved the highest level of value relevance among all subsamples. This is in line with the notion that Big Four audit firms are better prepared to deal with the IFRS reporting regime because they work closely with the ISV by providing financial and professional resources. To conclude, we can say that despite the Saudi stock market being an emerging market, investors are rational when it comes to the use of the accounting information for making investment decisions. Also, despite the difference of the application of fair valuation model in Saudi Arabia, our evidence shows that the adoption of IFRS revived the role of the balance sheet, which used to be ignored under the Saudi GAAP. Based on the additional analysis, we can conclude that investors in Saudi Arabia have more confidence in accounting information of large firms, profit-making firms, and firms audited by Big Four, regardless of the accounting standard being applied. Also, investors do not rely on accounting information of loss-making firms at all. Finally, investors place a greater weight on the IFRS-based accounting information when being audited by Big Four. Our study has several implications. First, the result should be of particular importance to the ISB, since the value relevance is a joint test of the two fundamental qualitative characteristics of the accounting information that are specified in the ISB conceptual framework. Second, our findings should be useful to national accounting standard setter who would be interested in whether the transition to IFRS has improved the accounting quality. Also, audit firms operating in Saudi Arabia should be interested in the result of our study, as the results show how the market participant perceived the accounting information being audited by these firms pre and post IFRS implementation. Further, the results should also motivate firms with low value relevance to advance their knowledge about IFRS and undertake training programs. Lastly, empirical researchers may be interested in adopting the research methodology employed in this study by conducting the analysis using both the pre- and post-IFRS method and the comparative year method where possible. I would like to conclude this presentation by giving some ideas for future studies. Future study could consider the impact of IFRS adoption on other accounting information quality metrics. Also, future study could investigate the long-term impact of IFRS adoption in Saudi Arabia by giving the adoption enough time to be fully implemented and to take effect. Also, researchers may be interested in investigating the economic consequences as a result of IFRS adoption in Saudi Arabia. Lastly, future research may consider conducting a comparative study of the impact of IFRS adoption by including other Gulf Cooperation Council countries to provide a more generalizable result. This is the end of my presentation. Thank you so much for listening, and I'm looking forward to answering your questions.
Thank you, Abdulrahman, for a very interesting presentation, and you're spot on time. Thank you. Very interesting paper that examines the impact of IFRS in a context that we don't have a lot of research evidence on. So most likely very informative to the board about the impact of standards in different contexts. So our academic discussant is Dr. Jeff Colton from the University of New South Wales, a colleague of mine. So Jeff is a senior lecturer at UNSW. He has an interesting background in that he has a PhD from UNSW, as well as a law degree from the University of Sydney, as well as an undergraduate degree. Okay, so Jeff is a chartered accountant, and he was also a former corporate lawyer, but decided to jump to accounting. Okay, so Jeff is an archival financial accounting researcher. That's his main interest, and he current research interests focus on the way in which the financial statement information, as well as other information, impact on the capital markets, but he also has some unusual research interests with respect to the economics of space exploration. Right? We don't see that very often in accounting. So, Jeff, you've got 15 minutes for your presentation. I'll turn it over to you.
Just take myself off mute. Thank you very much, Gary, and thank you, Anne, for the opportunity to see some familiar faces and contribute to this research forum. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, as appropriate. It's great to have academic standard setters and practitioners talking to each other, and don't hold the former corporate lawyer against me. Thanks, Abdulrahman, for the presentation. You did a great job of going through the paper. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time repeating what you said, but we'll briefly give my perspective on what you do, what you found, and some thoughts on going forward. So Abdulrahman, Allen and Helen in their paper examined the impact of the adoption of IFRS accounting rules in the Saudi Arabian context. And they did so by testing for the value relevance of the book value of equity and accounting earnings both before, during and after the period of adoption. So the primary results are that book value and earnings were value relevant both jointly and individually in the IFRS period, and accounting earnings were value relevant under the local Saudi GAAP, and that there was an increase in the value relevance of book values only after IFRS adoption. They did some partitioning of their sample and found that accounting information is more value relevant for larger firms than for smaller firms, for profitable firms compared with loss-making firms, and clients of Big Four auditors compared with clients of other auditors. So I'll go through what I like about the paper, offer some thoughts about what I'd also like to see the authors think about. As we're all aware, IFRS adoption commenced in 2005, and the standards have been widely adopted around the world since that time. Adoption has provided researchers with a neat event to examine. So researchers can look at the time series impact of IFRS adoption, so what happened before, during, and after the adoption event. We've seen numerous multi-country IFRS adoption studies, as well as single-country studies like the one we have here. Single-country studies allow the authors to control for institutional, socioeconomic, and political factors that affect companies' reporting and stock market participants' investing behavior that are going to be difficult to control for in an international comparative study. The requirement for firms to provide a restated figure in the year of adoption means that we have a year for which we can analyze both local GAAP and the IFRS figures. And so Abdulrahman and the authors explain nicely why value relevance tests are appropriate in assessing the impact of IFRS adoption in the paper. The IFRS conceptual framework describes the desirable characteristics of accounting information and includes investors as a key group of decision makers when considering what makes accounting information useful. So the extent to which accounting information helps explain share prices is a well-established test of such usefulness. Given the introduction of IFRS was a pretty substantial change to the global financial reporting environment, it has been the subject of quite a bit of research over the years. Even focusing on the more specific issue of IFRS adoption and value relevance shows a ton of papers, as you can see from this recent Google search that I did. As Gary mentioned at the start of the session, this research is of particular interest to standard setters, as well as investors, reporting entities, lenders, and others. So it absolutely ticks the box for relevant. It's an interesting question and certainly interesting to the IASB. The flip side of this, though, is that a lot of the low-hanging fruit has already been picked. In other words, from a research perspective, it can be hard to make an incremental contribution beyond, in this case, Saudi Arabia. Single country studies are, of course, important to those in the countries or interested in that country. And certainly from a standard setting perspective, the wider variety of countries that we can get evidence on, the more informed the standard setters are going to be about the potential impact of future changes. From a research perspective, we want to think about what would make the single country study more broadly relevant to a wider group of readers. And here's where I think some thinking could be helpful. What is it about the Saudi environment that's going to allow us to learn something beyond what we already know about IFRS adoption? Abdulrahman did a good job of talking about Saudi Arabia at the start of his presentation, but I wanted to read more in the paper. We know that Saudi Arabia is an important country within the world economy. In the paper, there's a brief section about the process of IFRS adoption in Saudi Arabia, but not much other detail on the broader institutional environment. And I think that this is something that could really help us understand in more detail how and why IFRS adoption could matter for your sample. We're all used to reading papers based on the US environment, and for some of us, the UK, the European, or the Australian environment, but far less so Saudi Arabia. I was wanting to know more. A lot of readers won't know the ins and outs of the way in which business and accounting works there. So our ignorance is your opportunity. So I think more could be done in the paper to inform us about the institutional environment broadly defined, and in particular about the factors that might help inform your predictions and therefore your tests. So I guess you could think of the factors within at least two different buckets. I guess first, it's country level factors that apply to Saudi Arabia. This is going to allow you to contrast your results with the existing literature. The other way to consider the differentiating factors would be to think of variation within your local sample that you might predict is not uniformly affected by IFRS adoption. I know you've petitioned on size, profitability and auditor, but there are a couple of additional items that I think you could consider. Broadly speaking, what was the financial reporting regime like during the time of adoption? So for example, what's the nature of the enforcement actions in relation to breaches of the accounting rules? I know you mentioned in the conclusion to your paper that auditors may not be familiar with working with IFRS rules. But are there any local audit firms or industry specialist auditors that would allow you to go beyond a straight Big Four, non-Big Four partition? How would the impact of Saudi Arabia's religious and governance institutions that you did mention in your presentation impact on the way in which accounting information is used within the country? Again, this is something where you can show how Saudi Arabia is unique relative to what we already know about IFRS adoption and use that to help inform your tests. What's the broader legal system like? Is there strong or weak investor protection? And how might that impact on the way in which accounting information is used? Were any of these factors changing at the same time as the change in accounting rules? Is the funding largely debt-based or equity-based? We know that countries with an emphasis on debt financing tend to have more conservative accounting. You mentioned briefly in the paper that it's a market-oriented country, but we don't really have any details or descriptors to support this. So you could think about whether there's variation in funding across different firm types, and to what extent is there government involvement in corporate ownership? Also thinking about things like, are there any firms in your sample that are cross-listed on other exchanges, and could that influence accounting behaviour? So thinking about firm-specific factors, you could consider things like, is the ownership concentration high, and are owners involved in the management or not? If so, there's less need for financial statements as an information source. And to what extent is there a tight nexus between financial reporting and tax? So one factor that is likely to influence the impact of IFRS adoption is the extent to which the local GAAP rules were similar to the new IFRS rules. If the reporting rules are effectively unchanged, then we wouldn't expect a large impact on the extent to which market participants use the resulting accounting information. You mentioned this in your presentation, but including this in the paper would definitely improve it, I think. The difference between the historical cost focus of Saudi GAAP and a more fair value balance sheet focus on using the IFRS statements could help motivate your predictions about the way in which IFRS could impact on the value relevance and the types of firms for which that impact is the greatest. I'd be interested to know what the industry composition of your sample is. And how does that differ from other countries that have been studied? It would be even better if you could show that there were greater changes in accounting rules for certain of your sample firms that might be by industry. So considering these types of issues could allow you to make some predictions that were more nuanced than what we currently see in your hypotheses, which at the moment read broadly speaking as we expect accounting information to be value relevant. The paper, in terms of methodology, uses a standard value relevance test where share prices regressed on the book value of shareholders' equity and earnings per share. Both the coefficients on the accounting variables as well as the overall explanatory power of the model are examined on the pre, post, and adoption period. And the scaling factor here is the number of shares. The second model that they use incorporates an indicator variable for the post-IFRS period, and it effectively measures the difference in value relevance between the local GAAP and IFRS. In other words, what it does, it allows for changes in the linear valuation model between the two reporting regimes. So I don't have any major qualms with this methodology. It's reasonably standard within the value relevance research. given what you said or what we see about the focus of earnings or the importance of earnings in your results, if you wanted to do additional testing, you could incorporate a returns model consistent with Easton and Harris or Kathari and Zimmerman. This is going to kind of, on the one hand, it avoid problems of scale, and it also focuses exclusively on the timeliness of earnings. As I said, this could be a useful test given the results which show that book value under Saudi GAAP doesn't load in your primary regressions. So the primary results that you have do show that the coefficient on both earnings and book values are associated with price under IFRS, but only earnings is value relevant under Saudi GAAP in the pre-IFRS period. So following on from my earlier comments, you might want to think about why that is the case and whether there's some cross-sectional variation in the extent to which book value is not value relevant. So for which firms or industries does the move to IFRS most likely matter? So this could help explain the change in R squared in the post-IFRS period as well. And we see a similar story with the incremental value relevance test. The biggest change is between IFRS and local GAAP, and it's for book value. And again, it would be great to see you explore those factors that might explain this. So a few other minor points. We know that in some countries, firms were allowed to adopt IFRS early. You note in the paper that you exclude such firms from your sample. But I guess it could be interesting to see if the IFRS reported results of those firms showed the same increase in value relevance as the broader sample. But I do understand that you might run into problems with a small number of probable observations for that. You scale your variables by share price, and that's standard treatment in the literature following the Bath and Clinch paper. It might be interesting to see the extent to which your results hold if you use different deflators. But overall, it's a well-executed paper addressing an area of obvious interest to a body like the IASB. I wish the authors all the best with the paper's progress, and I'm sure it's going to make a fascinating PhD. Abdurrahman, so all the best.
Thank you, Jeff, for your very constructive and insightful comments. I'm sure that Abdurrahman got some very interesting tips and avenues for further explanation of the paper and some additional tests, okay? So next up, we have a discussion from the board, okay? One that is obviously well known to all of us, Dr. Ann Taka or Professor Ann Taka, okay? So Anne has an interesting career in that she's been involved as an academic for a number of years, I think around 25, and then also has spent a considerable amount of time as a standard setter, whereas we don't normally get that mix, okay? But when she was an academic, full-time employed, she had a very strong interest in standard setting and practical accounting issues. So Anne is an emeritus professor at the University of Western Australia, where she spent much of her career, and currently a member of the International Accounting Standards Board. She has a PhD and other degrees from University of Western Australia, and her research focuses on financial reporting standards, regulation, and practice with a particular emphasis on international standards, hence her interest in being on the IASB. So Anne, you've got 10 minutes for your presentation. Go to it.
Thank you, Gary, and thank you for that introduction. Gloria, could you please share my slides? Thanks, Gloria. I'd like to thank Abdurrahman, Alan, and Helen for this paper and for being part of the forum. Next slide, please, Gloria. I don't need to say much to this slide because I think Jeff has covered it very well. So I will go to the next slide and start talking about where I see the contributions are from this work. Like Jeff, I do see that there is a contribution from the paper because they're looking at Saudi Arabia. And as Jeff, I also agree with Jeff that there is a contribution from single country studies. And one of the main areas that they can contribute is in relation to the distinctive country features which impact upon adoption. So we know that it's one set of global standards, but we also know it's more than 140 different countries. So the sorts of features that are mentioned in the paper are that investors have limited access to financial information. Accounting information is a main source of information. The strength of enforcement in the country is mentioned. The fact that national standards were used that had drew from UK GAAP, US GAAP and IFRS standards. And I'll return to the importance of that point in a moment. We're told that finance sector firms were using IFRS standards before the rest of the companies in the country. So please just add in the date. I think it was quite early on. So add the date into the paper on that because that's important. The paper also tells us that the transition to IFRS standards went for over 5 years from 2012. So these are all things that I want to touch on in my comments. And there is this comment in the paper, page 10, on enforcement and a comment about being enforced properly. Jeff has suggested you look more into the enforcement angle. And the paper that you cite is Alshamiri, Brown and Tarka. I don't know that enforced properly is the right description of how we describe the enforcement structure in Saudi Arabia. So perhaps just have a look at that again. I think that Bada Alshamiri, when he did his work, found quite a lot of non-compliance. But again, that was quite some years ago. So you'll probably need to update your reference around enforcement beyond that paper. But of course, cite that paper. Nothing wrong with that. Next slide, please, Gloria. Right. So I've got some comments I'd like to make around interpreting the results. Like Jeff, I understand what you've done and that's presented. And Jeff has also talked about the models and talked about how the models are drawn from, and they apply the techniques that are quite well respected and well known in the literature. So I don't have comments on that. But the interpretation of the results, I think that there's more that can be done in this area. So firstly, why is there no change in value relevance? So the types of things that could explain a no change result are that there's the transition was gradual, that there is no hard pre-post. So the Saudi Arabian setting that you're using in your study is different to some other jurisdictions that had a much harder pre-post from the national GAAP to the IFRS standards. You tell us that prior standards are based on IFRS standards and similarities to IFRS standards. So you're already talking about a gap that's harmonized in some ways. So I noticed today in your presentation, you did refer to Saudi GAAP as rules-based, and then you talked about IFRS being principle-based. I think you've got to tease that out a bit more if you follow my suggestions and Jeff's suggestions to help the reader understand your institutional framework more. Because in your paper, as it's written, you say that the national GAAP, the Saudi GAAP, does reflect various elements of these other principle-based standards. So I think you need to explain that more for us. It also means in your setting that accountants and auditors have experience of principle-based standards and IFRS standards. So prior to the adoption, you can see, if you take 2017 as your adoption year, you've already got several years where the auditors are building up their experience because the banks and entities in the finance sector were using IFRS standards. So there is some experience. And also, if some standards are drawn out of principle-based standards, then there's experience there. I think it's really important, if you would, in your paper, recognise that the study is not about the quality of IFRS standards per se. It's about the effects of implementation in a specific setting. And I think you can use that to motivate your paper. Expanding on some of those points, you do talk about reasons for no value relevance effect, but I think that you can extend that and make that more prominent in your discussion. I think you have to avoid claims that the evidence speaks to any attributes of IFRS standards. You didn't do this in your presentation today, but it does come through a little bit in your paper. So, for example, any reference to the quality of IFRS standards or relevant to the relevance and reliability of the conceptual framework on page 22, because I think your evidence is about the financial information in a specific country with specific institutional features. So I think that's where the value of the contribution of your research lies. I'd also suggest, where possible, that you consider the extent to which the prior evidence that you cite is relevant in your country setting. So when you're interpreting your results, you refer to prior literature, and that's standard, that's what we should do. But for example, you talk about the literature regarding auditors, Big Four auditors and others. Now, a lot of that evidence comes from other jurisdictions, in particular from the US. So I'd like to see you tease that out a bit more, how that evidence, that prior evidence, fits with what you know about Saudi Arabia. And that thought is very much consistent with what Jeff has been suggesting you think about for your paper. Next slide, please, Gloria. I think you can do more to interpret your results and back up your results by looking at some of the company data that is belongs to the companies in your sample. There's two things I'd like to talk about. I'd like to talk about the claims that you make in relation to the value relevance of the book value of equity, and you mentioned this fair value orientation in IFRS. I think what you need to do is tell us about where fair value measurement has been used by companies, because you tell us there are some limits involved. And secondly, I'd like you to consider more these claims you make about the volatility, the value relevance of earnings, perhaps it's absent due to volatility. Well, that's something that can be empirically investigated. Is there a change in volatility of earnings during your study period? So just explaining those points a little bit more. I think it would be appropriate to avoid these blanket statements about the fair value orientation of IFRS. This kind of statement is too high level, it is too generalized. We see it in the literature, but it's not useful. It's not useful here for your paper, and a standard setters would rebut this type of claim. If you look in the conceptual framework, we talk about the importance of earnings as well as the importance of the values in the balance sheet. But specifically for you, where is this fair value observed in the companies that are using IFRS standards where it was not observed before? So you've got a sample of non-financial companies. So is the fair value coming through IFRS 9, IFRS 3, IAS 16? You tell us on page 17 that IAS 16, IAS 38 and IAS 40, the models are deferred. And then today you told us they're deferred, I think, until October of 2019, which is outside your study period. So this fair value effect has to be coming through IFRS 9 and IFRS 3. So I'd like you to dig into the data and tell us about what extent these standards are actually used by sample companies in the years that you study. You've got the databases and you've got your sample, so you can dig in and see where these financial amounts are reported. Where is this fair value measurement? And that would give robustness to your claims that this is a fair value effect. Secondly, about the volatility of earnings resulting from the use of fair value measurement. So if it's already down to IFRS 9 and IFRS 3, you know, you've got to look in the data. Where is this volatility? Is it there? So demonstrate that there is some fair value effect and there is some volatility coming from fair value measurement. You've got the data. I think you can do that. The third thing I'd like to mention here is in relation to the education issue. So I'm probably on the same wavelength as Jeff here, thinking to tell us more about your setting. Because sometimes in the paper you refer to things like lack of training on page 11, page 22. And that's fairly standard in many people that are looking in emerging emerging economies and developing markets and having to use IFRS, we do hear a lot of comments about lack of training, lack of education. But I do wonder about the specific Saudi setting, in the sense that you've got the big four networks, they are operating, and you can see that because you see such a difference between audited by big four and not audited by big four. So I think there is some effect that you are getting through training and education, and also my point about Saudi GAAP, if it was drawn from principle-based standards, then people have got some experience with principle-based standards. So I think there needs to be more information and more consideration of the subtleties of what you're looking at. You can't just rely on what other people have said about emerging and developing economies. Many countries, when they adopt IFRS standards, do engage in training. So tell us, did this occur in Saudi Arabia, or was it insufficient or ineffective? So they're the points I wanted to share. So I hope they're useful as you revise your paper, and I look forward to seeing it published in Accounting and Finance. And thanks very much for the opportunity to comment. Back to you, Gary.
Thank you, Anne, for your very insightful comments. I'm sure that the comments will be quite useful for Abdulrahman. Okay, so we're going to cease recording, I guess, because we're starting the Q&A portion. But before we commence with the Q&A, Abdulrahman, I'd like to take the opportunity, if you want to respond to any of the issues raised by the discussants before we open it up to more general Q&A. You don't have to do so, but you may wish to do so. So, on to any of the issues raised?
First of all, I'd like to thank the discussant for their constructive comments. I learned a lot from the comments. I would like to respond to some of the comments that I wrote down here. For the date of the financial sector, I already included it in the revised version of the paper, and I will update the enforcement. Regarding the Saudi GAAP is being derived from the US GAAP and UK GAAP and IFRS. Mainly, it's from the US GAAP. It's just in case of the absence of, there is no like guidance in the Saudi GAAP, accountants are required to follow IFRS in this case. Also, the ownership, I think it's raised by Dr. Colton. We tried, it's not disclosed in the database. We tried the ownership, and there are other area, the other firm characteristics. I'm actually considering them in the overall PhD. And I will explain more about the culture and the other institutional factor in Saudi Arabia. So thank you so much for your comments.